Welcome to Refried Sunday, a podcast for the congregation of West London Alliance Church. We're here to reflect on our worship, to consider how to apply God's word, and to prepare ourselves for our next gathering. I'm not Barry Usher. I'm Jude St. John. I'm joined by
Joshua Burley. And it's great to be able to be here and share in this podcast.
Yeah. Well, we want to start out this podcast by reflecting on our Sunday day of worship that we just had. And so let me start by just sharing a couple of things that come to my mind as I think about that Sunday, things that sort of stood out to me on that Sunday. The first thing is I want to praise God for another baby born to a couple in our church. Levi was born to Jacob and Heidi Beck. And like the last time we talked about this, Jacob and Heidi are in our life group. And so we've been praying for this for quite some time, and we are so excited. And it's such an encouragement to see that announcement, and I look forward to meeting Levi soon. Another thing that stuck out to me was missing women. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a memorable thing that the women were missing, but it did occur to me when I looked out into the congregation and some of those familiar faces weren't there, a fair number of familiar faces weren't there, just reminded me how much we appreciate them in the church, how much their singing helps our congregational singing, and in general, just them being part of our congregation. We were happy they were able to get away, but they were certainly missed. And then I think the last thing, Joshua, was you being up there preaching. Of course, I'm the main preacher, and so whenever I'm not up there, that's a bit different for me, but this is the first time to have you preaching at our church, and that was exciting for me.
Yeah, and I would say that that's certainly something that stuck out to me.
I hope so, yeah.
as well. I was very glad to be able to have that opportunity to share. I think I was a little bit nervous.
I hope so.
Leading up to it, but I think a big part of that was the newness of that opportunity.
Sure.
You know, like here at the church for a couple of months now, but you know, new building, new faces, new pulpit. I've actually never preached from a pulpit like that before. Okay. So, you know, figuring out where my hands go and all that sort of thing. But ultimately I think the more that I was sharing, the more comfortable I felt, and I really happy to be able to share. And then for me as well, like I guess for me, I really appreciated that second portion of worship, that the songs and some of the lyrics in those songs in particular, I felt actually connected quite well to some of the things that I shared. And so that was very helpful for me in my own moment of worship as well. So I appreciated that moment too.
Well, you looked very comfortable up there. As I said, I thought you did a great job faithfully, you know, expositing the passage you had. And it was great to have you play a part in our Acts series, which we've got a couple more weeks of before we stop for the summer and get to the Psalms. I look forward to hearing from you in that capacity in the future, but a good Sunday, I think, for that. We have also in this podcast the goal of considering some of those things that were preached or that we dealt with in our Sunday service. And so we want to reflect with some of the points from your sermon. You preached from Acts 13, 1 through 12. You pointed out how this marks really the beginning of Paul's missionary journey. We've left Peter and Jerusalem behind, you could say.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Paul and the Gentiles. I think Acts 13 is the first time he's called Paul, if I'm not mistaken. So actually that's a relief for me because now I can just say Paul.
Right.
I sort of said I'm going to hold off until then.
Sure,
but
sure.
The idea you emphasized was that as God sovereignly advances his mission, he chooses to do so through the participation of his people. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into the actual details of your sermon, what stood out to you from this story in Acts 13? Was there anything in your initial preparation that jumped out at you?
Yeah, well, I think after I had read the passage a couple of times, I think one of the things that stuck out to me that ultimately led to that main idea of mine was how many moments in the story the Holy Spirit is actually mentioned,
right?
Or in the midst of what seemed to be just sort of natural events in one's life, all of a sudden there's something supernatural occurring, or the Holy Spirit is saying something, doing something, or speaking. And yeah, it just led me to this thought that, right, like, though we cannot always see God,
right,
and see what he is doing, he's absolutely active. And we need to recognize that, especially as we, you know, do what we are called to do and minister in the ways that we minister.
Yeah. You know, John Piper is well known for saying in any event in your life, God is doing 10,000 things,
right,
that you can't see.
Yeah.
And that makes me think of that, like, so much of what happens over the course of the day, because maybe we can't see it, or because we're not paying attention to those things, we forget that this is a world of flesh and blood, but it is a spiritual world as well, and God's doing things. So, certainly that was brought out in the text, and I think that obviously, you know, impacted your idea of partnering with God. I want to get to that in just a minute, but one of the things that sticks out with me from Acts chapter 13 is the church in Antioch sending Barnabas and Paul. And I'm always astounded by that. You know, like, I'm thinking, if I'm the lead pastor of the church in Antioch, right? You know, West Antioch Alliance Church. And Barnabas and Paul are in my congregation. I'm telling God, there's a lot of people you can take, but not those two.
Right.
We're keeping them here.
Yeah.
And yet, the church in Antioch, obviously at the leading of the Holy Spirit, sent out Paul and Barnabas. And that's just incredible to me. You know, the son of encouragement. And then Paul, you could argue, is one of the greatest missionaries, one of the greatest theologians that the church has known. And certainly, as the apostle to the Gentiles, holds a special place in our hearts.
Yes.
I think he should. But they sent them out, and they went willingly. And what I was thinking about was, okay, they went willingly, but they didn't know all the details. They didn't have anything mapped up. And so here's my question for you. What might help people personally obey God? And you spoke about that in your sermon about the importance of obedience. What can help people obey God when the outcome or maybe significant details aren't clear to them?
Yeah, well, I think I could first say that you're right. They had no clue what that journey was going to look like for them. But the only reason why we could say Paul is one of the greatest missionaries is because he was sent.
He did,
in this moment. Like, this started, but they would have not known, and yet we get to see now, reading all of Acts, how incredible these journeys ended up being as God was moving. And so we don't know sometimes, but that doesn't always mean it's a bad thing.
Right.
Sometimes though we don't know, you know, what is next, or God is calling us to something, but we don't have all the details, that doesn't always mean it's bad. And for me, immediately, I think of my own story mine and my wife's story.
I was going to ask about that, because you have, you know, embarked on a journey to do something new, and all the details weren't clear. So talk to us.
Well, like in July of last year, I resigned from my previous role, believing that God was calling us out of that role, but not knowing what was next at all, like having zero idea really of what he was calling us to. And I got a job as a construction worker to pay the bills while we prayed and waited and talked to so many people. And eventually, of course, and you know, God, as he was moving, even though I wasn't always seeing it, he led us here to Westland Alliance Church through some pretty incredible conversations and seemingly miraculous moments of a person connecting me to a person to eventually you, which was pretty incredible. But I think for me, what I learned, because I didn't know what was in store until we began to have conversations, but what I learned was a couple of things. One is, even though we were no longer attending the church that I had been a part of, we did connect to another local church, and that was super important.
Sure.
Like, if we don't know what God has in store for us next, and we're making these big leaps of faith or whatever the case may be, I think we have to stay rooted to God's people. We have to stay anchored to the local congregation. I knew that in making that decision to leave, it was going to be so dangerous for my wife and I to then go into that, you know, season of unknown, not connected at all.
Yeah.
But another thing that stuck out to me for sure was prayer. Hmm. And I think at that point in my life, I would have said that, I pray. I have a pretty good prayer life.
Right.
But sometimes you don't realize like how much more you could pray when life is not seeming to go your way. And so I began to pray during my commutes to work and back. And I think God really challenged me in that. And I think that was maybe some of the best prayer times that I've had. Some of the worst as well. Just, you know, crying out to God, like, God, I don't know what to do. But he was with me through it all. And so I think if we can maintain or even challenge ourselves in our prayer life, but also staying rooted to the local church, we still may not know all the answers or what's coming next, but I think those things in particular could really help us.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. You know, when you're dealing with unknown, one of the things you can do is anchor yourself in the things you know.
Right.
Well, we know we're supposed to go to church. We're supposed to be part of a local body. So, you know, even though there's a lot of things up in the air, we're gonna dig into that. And I remember talking to you about that when we first started investigating this. And, you know, similarly, when we don't know, we pray.
Yeah.
We know we're called to prayer. We know God answers prayer. Mm-hmm. We know that's the means he uses. So I think that's really good advice. I remember speaking to you in those sort of early couple days when we had connected. And at some point, you just shared with me, you said, you know, Jude, I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do to be the husband I'm supposed to be and to provide for my family and those sorts of things. But I just, it weighs upon me about being in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you said. I feel like I'm called to that and I want to pursue that. And so that, I remember that distinctly. And so that's, I think that's a great illustration of, you know, walking in the unknown, some of the things we can do. So I appreciate that. There was another thing from your sermon that stuck out to me. And, you know, I notice here that this is something that stuck out to Barry as well. I can see it in his notes. And that pertains to making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed how you talked about that in regards to Elymas. How do you say his name? Elymas.
Sure.
Let's go with Elymas. You know, making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And, you know, so here's a question. Where might we see similar kinds of opposition to the gospel today, specifically, you know, making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, though the way is not always easy, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that he is the way to the Father. And so it's clear, it's straight. But I think the general things that I mentioned that can get in the way, that can make those paths crooked in particular, would be temptation, sin, and lies. Mm. Now, those are general, but I think there are, you know, specific examples of this in our life. Like when we struggle with particular sins, temptation comes our way, or we have a history of habitual sin, all of the sudden we become distracted. Right? That we get our eyes off of God and maybe onto other things, and all of a sudden we, maybe even shame comes over us, and we don't feel like we can even approach Jesus in prayer anymore, and all of a sudden the way doesn't seem so straight and simple. But I think another example of this would be the lies that our world tells us, that other people tell us, that the devil tells us. There's a lot of ideas out there. Right? We know that Jesus is the way, but there would be a lot of other religions or even incorrect ideas within maybe the Christian world where we hear it and it either, you know, twists what we believe the gospel is, how we get to Jesus, that maybe it is by our own works or efforts, and or that you don't need to follow that specific God. In fact, there's lots of gods that you can you can follow, or that gospel isn't true. This is the true gospel. And so we have to, I think, focus on that which is true. Right. And make sure that we're, you know, reading our Bibles and considering what God is saying, so that even if, you know, temptation, people in our lives are trying to get us to do things we know we're not supposed to do, or people are starting to share ideas with us that we know are not true,
right,
that we can stand firm, like Paul did, and actually speak against those things, or instead speak to what is true.
I love that idea of keeping your focus on the truth, keeping your focus on Christ. And, you know, we've all had the experience while driving of letting our eyes wander,
sure,
and then finding that the vehicle ends up going in the direction we're looking instead right, of where it should. I've got a funny story about driving down to Florida in a van with my sister and her family, and just doing the all-nighter.
Oh, yeah.
And in the middle of the night, one of the ways I keep, you know, keep awake and alert when driving is to just snack on food.
Sure, yeah.
And so everyone in the van was asleep, and behind my seat is the snack bag.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm trying to get, I was actually going for Little Debbie cream, oatmeal cream cookies. Okay. If you've never had them, you got to try them, people. They're unbelievable. And I'm trying to get them, but I can't see them. And I don't want to wake anyone up. And so finally, I just turn and look, go to grab some cookies. And when I turn up, I don't see any road. All I see is grass, because I've gone off the road.
Oh, no. Okay.
I wake up the whole van.
Yep.
And anyways, funny story, I got my oatmeal cream cookies. They were delicious, but not at the cost of, you know, perhaps an accident. But, you know, that idea of keeping our focus and our eyes, are a singular focus on Christ, is important. And really, what is temptation other than trying to get our eyes off Christ?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, we might sin and end up in the ditch. So some great ideas there. I think the other thing you mentioned that is true in our day and age is just other worldviews, other belief systems, and just being bombarded by that in a media-driven society.
Yeah.
And that, of course, could make a straight path crooked as well. So some great examples there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the sermon, you asked the congregation to consider, I would sort of say, if there was one sort of overriding application, this might be it.
Right.
Where is God calling you to partner with him right now? And so maybe you could unpack that a little more. What does it mean to partner with God? So when you suggest that, tell us maybe in more detail what you're thinking.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think there's maybe two ways to look at this. I think the first focus of each of us would be, again, to read what Scripture would say. First, that what God is already doing,
right,
you know, the promises that he's said, also, you know, what he says that he will already do in this world, in this time, but then also to read about what our responsibilities are already. Mm. Like, we don't need another document necessarily to tell us the general responsibilities we already all have as people. Like, and I gave a couple examples of considering, you know, what does the Bible say about how I should be a good parent? Or what does the Bible say about how I should be a good child?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Husband, wife, mother, father, whatever the case may be, whoever we are, the roles and responsibilities that we know that we already have, what does the Bible say about them? And so, because the Bible speaks to all these things, you know, the responsibilities of a husband within the home, or a wife within the home, mm-hmm, or how kids should act with their parents, or how parents should raise their kids. And so when we know what the Bible says, that gives us this very clear goal for each of us, and we're also very different. We all have different roles, but some of these things would be very similar. We can help one another to accomplish these things.
I think, if I can interrupt for a moment too, is we also don't need to ask God or wonder if God will partner with us in those things.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I don't need to ask, you know, I want to make disciples. Will God partner with me in that?
Yeah.
We know the answer to that. Right.
Right.
The Great Commission tells us
so.
I want to be obedient to my parents. You know, God, will you partner with me in that? Well, you could pray that, but I assure you he will partner with you in that. Yeah.
And that's true. That's right. There are some responsibilities that the Bible describes that are just for all believers.
Right. It
doesn't matter who you are. The Great Commission would be a great example of that. Going, making disciples of all nations, right? And so when we can be really honest with ourselves, what we're doing, what the Bible says we ought to do. And then when we obey those things, yes, we can know that God is already, he's already working in the hearts of the people around us and speaking to those individuals. But I think on top of that, we have to acknowledge that we are a church mm-hmm. within the city of London. Not all churches are called to minister in the city of London, right? Each yep. church has we all have specific callings or goals or missions that not every church is going to have. And so I think what this also looks like is us as individuals, but also us as the congregation, praying with one another, discussing ideas with one another, considering mm-hmm. what the leadership is saying already, to acknowledge, like, God is already doing things in London.
Right.
He's speaking to people in London, right? He cares for these people.
Right.
So he's already doing something even in our midst, but then we have to understand, okay, God, if you're calling me to make disciples and you're already moving right. in London, I guess by making disciples in London, Ontario, like, that's actually a very specific way
right.
that we, West London Alliance Church, actually get to partner
yeah.
with God specifically.
Yeah. Now, one of the ways you describe that, and tell me if this resonates and makes sense with you, you know, you sort of went to, like, go to God's Word. Right. If we're talking about partnering with God's word, with God, let's go to his word and see what it says about things and mm-hmm. talking about duties and responsibilities that have been laid out in scripture for us to do. One of the ways I might encourage people to talk about this is instead of saying, you know, how can God partner with me, is to say, how can I
yes,
partner with God?
For sure.
Now, it's a small distinction, and I wouldn't get all worked up if someone said it the other way, but, you know, it's indicating, you know, where the buck stops
yep.
and where it starts.
Yep.
And it helps maybe us to say, you know, how can I partner with God in what he's doing? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that what was clear in the passage, and we understand this through other places in scripture as well, is that, yeah, like, God is in control.
Right.
Like he was doing stuff before we woke up this morning, right? Right? Like, yeah. we don't start what is happening in the spiritual world.
Right.
It's almost as if, like, maybe a picture is helpful of, like, a river that's already flowing.
Right.
You come to the side of the river and you jump in.
Yeah,
the right. river doesn't jump into what you're already doing, right?
That's
you join what the river is already doing but it was always there. It
yeah.
was there before you got there.
Right.
Right? And so in the same sort of way, God is already moving.
Yeah.
And we get to partner with him in that way.
What he's doing.
Yeah.
The other thing that you mentioned that I appreciate it, and the way you conveyed that was just talking about it as this being God gracious to us.
Yeah.
That the King of the universe, the creator of all things, would invite us to join with him. And that is a wonderful thing. I appreciated how you articulated that. Well, let's, we've considered your sermon. We reflected on last Sunday. Let's prepare. Let's think about preparing for this next gathering we have, Lord willing, on Sunday. Joshua, what do you find helps you prepare for corporate worship each week? Do you have any habits or practices that would be helpful for our people to hear?
Yeah, sure. I don't live too far away from the church now. I'm about 10 to 15 minutes away. But one of the things that I've done, even in years past, was I would try to incorporate some sort of devotional practice, whether it be listening and singing along to worship music, prayer, or even listening to scripture, into my little commute
okay.
to the church from my home. Because the way I see it is there are so many distractions in our lives. There's probably lots of things I could be thinking about
sure.
Sunday morning leading up to being at the church building. But and there's probably even lots of things I could be listening to or doing even in that drive.
Right.
But if I focus it in on the things of God, I think that it sets me up that even before I step foot into the building, I've already considered something of God
yeah.
before I get there. I think that helps put us in a good posture. I will say too that, like, and I've started this obviously since I've arrived here, participating in the pre-service devotional moment, right. That even when I'm not necessarily doing something connected to the service in particular, maybe I'm doing something in junior high, but to be able to actually listen to the team practice and participate in some sense of worship there, but then also to hear a devotional read and then to corporately pray, right. together, at least, right. with the group that is there.
Yeah.
It continues to add just another thing to that morning as we then quickly anticipate the service to come. Especially recently, those are a couple of things that I've been doing.
Yeah, carve out a little window in your Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, if a congregant's getting ready for church, and I know if you're getting kids ready or whatever, it's complicated, but somehow carve a few minutes, mm-hmm. you know, focus on God, to pray, to worship. I think that would be a great thing. And yeah, join us for our time of devotional. It's at 8:15 in the sanctuary. Dave, would that be 9:15 come the summer? It'll switch to 9:15, but it's open to everyone. It's not just for people who are here with maybe some responsibility to do. We have now a couple congregants coming who are not participating in any of the work of the service. They, of course, participate in the service because, yes. they're part of the congregation, and they join us, and it's wonderful. So 8:15 in the main sanctuary, that would be awesome if people could join us for that. We have other things that we do here in order to help prepare people for the coming Sunday. Of course, we send out in our weekly email the songs, the scripture reading, and the sermon outline. And those are all ways that you could just begin to engage your heart, engage your mind in regards to what's going to take place on a Sunday. I also have gotten in the habit now with the podcast of giving people a heads up about what we're going to do in the New City Catechism. So we're on question 6. This is the book I use with the kids. How can we glorify God? The answer is by loving Him and by obeying His commands and law. And so, parents especially, maybe that's something you could go over with your kids this week as they prepare for Sunday as well. And adults, something for you to reflect on as well. You're going to hear that if you're in the sanctuary when we call the kids up. You could, of course, read the passage that's going to be preached, Acts 13:13 through 52. Barry's going to be preaching this Sunday, and mm-hmm. and so people could read that ahead, get themselves familiar with that passage. Would be a great thing. And then pray, of course, which you suggested, yeah. and I appreciate so much congregants who tell me that they've prayed for me during the course of the week. I value that. I think it's hugely significant. And I like what Barry has started doing, is actually sharing one of the prayer prompts that we're going to use in our devotional time. Mm. And the one we have for this coming Sunday is, pray for God's people to have a rich experience of biblical remembrance in worship. And I love that phrase, biblical remembrance in worship. That's such a rich, you know, phrase in terms of what we do on a Sunday. That, right. in some ways, would describe it all. Any other thoughts on just preparing for a Sunday?
I think that when we do these things throughout the week, I would hope that it almost can build a sense of anticipation,
yes.
which
yeah.
which I think is a good and healthy thing to. Because maybe we don't always think this way, but being excited mm-hmm. to actually come together with God's people on a Sunday to worship and pray and participate in all the ways that we do. But I guess the hope would be that if we, not just maybe on the Sunday morning, but if we're considering these things throughout our week, that I think some people see Sunday as like, I'm going to fill up at the beginning of the week and then let it kind of like run out until I need it again,
right.
on a Sunday. And maybe there's a piece of that would be true in the sense that we are being filled.
Yeah.
But what if we saw it the other way, that it's actually the end of our week? It's
celebration.
It's, yes, the celebration of what God has done, what He will do, what He's doing. And so, I think that consistent consideration of God and the things of God throughout the week can maybe help foster that, yeah. that sort of attitude, which would be good.
That lines up exactly with the purpose of this podcast, right?
Right? Yes.
Looking ahead, but also reflecting on behind. And so, yeah, that's a good word. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. And as we do at the end of each episode, I'm going to pray. It's usually Barry doing this, but I'm going to draw from the prayers offered during our Sunday service. And so I'm going to be combining part of Aaron Hagg's prayer. He prayed as one of our elders, and your prayer, Joshua, and use those to pray as we close up our podcast today.
Sure.
Join with me. Father God, as Aaron prayed, you alone are worthy of our praise. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher than our ways, and your thoughts than our thoughts. You are eternal, holy, and unchanging. You are just, punishing sin, and yet you are also loving, merciful, and forgiving. We thank you for sending your Son, who lived on this earth and ultimately died for us and for our sins. And as Joshua prayed, God, would you help us to be bold in our faith? Help us to understand the ministry you've given us, to see where you are at work, and to be attentive to your leading so that we might go and obey. And as we go, Holy Spirit, please help us, strengthen us, give us boldness, and equip us to walk in the calling you've placed on our lives. Strengthen and guide your church so that in all we do, you would be glorified on this earth. We entrust all of this to you, Jesus. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Joshua, thank you for refrying Sunday with me. As I always say, if it was worth frying it up once, it's worth a little more refrying.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, and happy to be able to share in this way.
Well, Lord willing, we'll be back next week to reflect on our worship, to consider how to live it out, and to prepare our hearts for what's ahead.